Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. And we read this, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And this last portion, this last phrase here, I'd underline, if you get a chance while we're preaching here, male and female created he them. Male and female created him he them. Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 1. If you'll read with along with me quietly, silently, I'll read the first two verses. Genesis 5, 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. And there you are again. I'd underline that. I'd underline that. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 4. If you turn over there, Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 4. And we'd read this verse. And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them, there it is again, male and female. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. It's just a wonderment, I guess, in my heart. Some of the things that a preacher has to come to the pulpit and address. And yet, Lord, if we don't speak the truth, we'll continue the slide. I pray that you'll open the hearts of God's people, dear Holy Spirit of God, and help us, Lord, as we live in such a perverted and unnatural culture. And, Lord, it pulls at our young people, and it pulls at our young couples, and even what ought to be salted in season, saints, it seems like at times it's just easier to surrender and go with the flow than it is to stand firm on what is right. But I pray that you would help us, Lord, in the next several Sunday nights as you would lead. Dear Lord, as we hit some reset buttons and understand, discover from the Bible the principles, Lord, the purpose of creation, the intent, original intent of creation of men and of women, and I pray that you'd strengthen our families as a result of it. Help us, Lord, to go come back to being salt and come back to being light. And, Lord, for those who have stood firm, I pray that you'd strengthen them through the teaching and preaching of your words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject tonight, original intent, original intent. I'm going to take several weeks here and try to strengthen Blessed Hope Baptist Church on a Sunday night. I'm going to try to strengthen us in the area of our convictions, in the area of our standards. I'm going to teach very carefully, very thoroughly, I think very biblically, the reasons behind where we have historically stood at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And why we've stood where we've stood, and encourage some of you that are saved and growing to consider these things. You are to grow in grace. You are to come along. You are to get stronger. You are to get better and more conformed to the image of Christ and more aligned with what the Scripture says. We are facing challenges that we've never faced before. We are seeing young couples saved out of a culture that is so anti-God and so mixed up and so upside down and so reversed that you're no longer taking people from zero. You feel like you're taking people from a negative 2,000 and just trying for years sometimes to get them to zero so that we can begin to go forward with them. Now, Christians, I can't help that. We can't help that. We've got to minister in the culture we've been given. But we're not waving a flag of surrender. And we're not just saying, well, that's just the way it is. And by the way, while we're trying to bring some up through the numbers and into the positive numbers, it sure is a discouragement to see some of you going backwards in numbers towards zero, and even some of you going back into the negatives, a pre-saved, pre-Christian behavior. And so I'm gonna teach thoroughly. I'm going to do probably a lot more teaching than preaching. I don't intend to be caustic and mean. I mean that. I don't see the profit in it. I'd like you to be open-hearted. I'd like you to look at the Scriptures. I'd like you to consider what the Holy, please listen to what I say, the Holy Spirit says. There's a lot of people that claim to believe the Bible and claim to be Christians that attack our stands. I think you ought to try the Spirit's and understand that. in this Laodicean age of carnality and laxness. There's a lot of so-called born-again believers that are walking around attacking separation and attacking holiness and attacking modesty and attacking gender-specific roles and teachings of the Bible. And sad, but to be expected, but that shouldn't throw you off. Well, brother so-and-so doesn't think. Well, I don't care what brother so-and-so thinks one way or another. I wasn't called to preach what brother so-and-so thinks. It's called to preach the Word of God. You're not going to stand and answer to God and think that that's going to hold up. Well, so I read a book, though, Lord. And I read a caustic mag. Well, I read on a supposed Christian forum site. And they said this, so I thought it was all right. I think you ought to shut all those things off and open your heart and mind and seek the Word of God and be open to what the Holy Spirit would talk to you about. We had a transformation. Young people, I'm going to give you some history here, so stay with me. All right, I'm doing it for a reason. Some of us have lived this history, and some of us have to share the history. We live in a confusing time. Even as a young boy, even though the culture had changed somewhat, I still, as a young boy, was allowed to grow up in a time period where, for the most part, and it changed drastically during my adolescence and teenage years, but where, for the most part, men and women, for the most part, still, even in a culture that was becoming less and less Christian, still respected the idea of God-given roles for a man and God-given roles for women. And the fact that when God created man, isn't this interesting, three times God states very specifically, male and female created he them. There are separations, there are differences. God set a boundary. Listen carefully what I'm going to say here. God set a boundary when he created the first two human beings. He didn't just say, so God created mankind in his own image, and the image of God created he them. He didn't say that. He said, God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And that's very important. This boundary is thrice proclaimed in the scriptures. By the way, that carries significance. Thrice proclaimed in the scriptures. When he created mankind, he created them male, and he created them female. God intended for this boundary to be respected and to remain through all of human history. Man was created first by God, formed by his hands from the dust of the earth, divinely gifted a living soul, placed in a garden, given both responsibilities and rules. Woman was created second by God, formed by his hands fashioned around a rib, taken out of man, divinely gifted a living soul, and brought to the man for the purpose of being, for the man, a companion and helper. What I've just described is original intent. Original intent. That may seem very obvious. It may seem what I've said is we're going to look at the scriptures. We're going to show you that I didn't just make up those statements. But I can tell you this, Satan has attacked the boundary between male and female and has attacked the assigned responsibilities and positions of a man and a woman from the moment that they were placed in the Garden of Eden. Satan circumvented the authoritative figure and went to the woman and challenged her to make a decision outside of the authority of her husband. From day one, Satan said, I've got to break down that boundary. I've got to destroy that boundary. Now, listen to me, let me give you a little history. 1960s, 1970s, a lot of good preachers begin to see a shifting in our culture and begin to mount their pulpits and warn against something that was labeled in those days the unisex movement. And we believed, preachers believed then, and by the way, I think very short-sightedly, I'm going to show you this, I think very short-sightedly thought that the purpose of the devil was to take this boundary and destroy it, and instead of having a man and a woman, a male and a female, a man, a gentleman, and a lady, but to take these two and blend them into one gender. I'm going to tell you this. That's what we hollered about, and that's what we thought would be the extreme case, and that's what we thought was the end of the world. But we underestimated Satan. We underestimated him. He didn't want a unisex movement. He wanted there to be two genders. He wanted total role reversal. He didn't just want it. We thought, Brother Tom, he just wanted a unisex movement. And what we failed to realize is the level of wickedness in the devil. See, he doesn't want to just take what God had created, destroy the boundaries, and make one. He wanted to take what God had created, destroy the boundaries, bring each to the boundary, by the way, an inch at a time. As we surrendered one thing after another, and one thing after another, and one thing after another. I want to tell you this. For the most part, by the late 70s, 80s, he had pretty much accomplished the unisex idea. Thank God, there's pockets of people. God still has his remnant. Thank God for that. There's still some biblically structured families. Thank God for that. But they're the exception, not the rule. And we watched this unisex movement, and we fought against it and preached against it, and then Christians quit preaching against it, quit fighting against it, and joined it. And pretty soon we had this blurring of the genders. But we thought that that's what his goal was. He's not done. You see, if you can get the women to move to here, and the men to move to here, and the women to move to here, and men to move to here, and the women to move here, and the men move here, why in the world would the devil quit there? Why not create a complete, opposite, perverse society that's diametrically opposed to what God's original intent was? Why not make it as bad as it can be? And what we got to see in the 90s and now into the new century is that from this gender blending, from this unisex movement, now is coming a female that is masculine, and by the way, with little or no traces of her God-intended femininity left. And young men, males, that honestly resemble a young lady in their demeanor, in their attitude, in their appearance, in their view of life, in the role that they aspire to, and now listen, Christians, I'm going to make some of you nervous the next few Sunday nights. Okay, I'm just going to make some of you nervous. I'm just warning you in advance. I should rephrase that. I'm not going to make you nervous. The Holy Spirit's going to make you nervous. Because I'd like to be able to tell you that the big bad wolf's out there somewhere doing all this, but the big bad wolf got accepted into the church house some time ago. And I want you to listen to me. I mean this. I want you to hear me out. I'm a man, and I'm not apologizing for being a man. I don't care if it's politically correct or not. I always tell people every once in a while, you know, this thing about men getting in touch with their female side, you know. Their inner female or whatever, you know. Their feminine side. Yeah, get in touch with their feminine side. And I always say anytime that I want to get in touch with my feminine side, I walk over here and I just got in touch with my feminine side. Okay? I intend and without apology want to be exactly what God created a man to be. And I want to be married to a woman who unapologetically, watch this, and unquestionably. This is the term we're going to start using around Blessed Hope Baptist. Unquestionably. 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 I want to be married to a woman who aspires to biblical femininity. I don't want to be married to a woman that's always trying to argue with me about why she needs to be more masculine and I want to be more feminine. I don't want to raise children who I don't want to see a generation raised here at the church where by the time they're raised, young men are, yes, less masculine than the previous generation, and young ladies are less feminine than the previous generation. Matter of fact, we need to come back into the church house and say, stop, let's start backing this thing back up. And young people, you're the ones going to have to step up and do some of that. They're going to have a hard time doing it if some of you older folk keep dropping your standards, keep making excuses, keep going backwards. They're going to have a hard time to do it. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't care. Listen, young people, I don't care what the older folk do. You're going to stand before God. And I'm going to tell you, you can talk about this, but I'm seeing a new wave. There's a whole remnant, a whole generation of young ladies that are looking this thing over and looking the Word of God, looking this thing over and looking the Word of God and say, you know what? I think great-grandma might have been a lot more closer to the Bible than grandma and than mom. And instead of continuing this crazy trend, I think I might just create a little revolution, a biblical revolution, and return back to the scriptures and the boundaries that God has set for me. And I'm going to tell you something. Those young ladies aren't the ones walking around with an attitude problem. Those young ladies aren't the ones walking around bossy and mouthy and domineering. By the way, those young ladies are highly sought after by real men. Highly sought after by real men. Because the honest truth is, there's nothing that inspires a man to masculinity more than the femininity of a young lady. And so I want you to think about that, okay? Every one of you is going to have to answer to God one of these days for it. God intended there to be a difference. Isn't it funny that I've got to say, think about what I'm saying right here, okay? Think about this. Good night. God intended for there to be a difference between a man and a woman. Wow, how deep is that? They were created differently for separate purposes. Their roles are different. Their physical, mental, and emotional makeup is different. A man is to be masculine. He's to be a leader and a provider and protector of his home. He's to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. A woman is to be feminine. She's to be a helper and companion to her husband. She is to be a keeper of the home and the primary caregiver to the children. She's to be in submission to her husband as the church is in submission to Christ. Not one thing I said there is not solidly supported by the Word of God. God set up a boundary between the two genders. The tenets of biblical masculinity stand in stark contrast to the tenets of biblical femininity. Some of you may not understand the philosophy we follow here, but there's a reason. Once the kids get out of the fourth grade, from fifth to sixth grade on up, in our Sunday school classes, we have the young men separated from the young ladies, and men teaching men, and young ladies teaching, or elder ladies teaching young ladies. By the way, it's Titus chapter 2. I don't think we're weird. I think we're biblical. I don't know why everybody doesn't do it. Several years ago, we started a Bible class. I know Brother Reiser from time to time pulls the group together to cover some general topics, but most of the year in our Christian school, we do not have a junior high Bible class and a senior high Bible class. We have a young men's Bible class and a young ladies' Bible class. Why? Because the things that young men need to be taught from the scripture to prepare them to be what they need to be is diametrically opposite in most of the ways from what young ladies need to be taught in order to help them to become what they need to be. I'm not surrendering this. I'm not surrendering this. This is biblical. This is right. And now, Satan has tried to tear down every boundary that God has ever established. The devil has dedicated himself to blending the two genders into one. But that was just phase one. He spent a couple, three decades blurring the roles of a husband and wife, trying to rewrite the purpose of each in our own mind. Young men are becoming increasingly effeminate, and young ladies increasingly masculine. It's inarguable. This has resulted in the destruction of the foundation of the family. This has resulted in the destruction of the foundation of the family. Since the family is the building block of any successful society, the devil has made great strides towards destroying our nation. Say, preacher, are you trying to trace the destruction of America back to gender blending, and then now role reversal? I will stand here and tell you 100% that above any other reason out there is the reason that we're in the mess that we're in today. 100%. We ignored Genesis chapter 1 and 2, original intent. We bought into the feminism movement and the women's lib movement of the 1970s. And the church bought into it. Preachers became more worried about being politically correct. And by the way, too scared of their wives. Too scared of their wives to take a stand. Got buffaloed by some teenage girls in their house. Wouldn't take a stand. And began to clip back and shortcut and refuse to address this issue. If they preached on Ephesians chapter 5, if they ever preached on it, they tiptoed around it, tiptoed through it, and rushed by it. Scared to death that Mrs. So-and-so in the church might get upset, grab her little henpecked husband by the nose and drag him out the door, never to be seen again. And because the pulpits became quiet, we became contributors to the demise of a nation. Now, what I want to try to help you to see, because we are going to deal, and by the way, we're going to deal very carefully, at least on one of the Sunday nights, with the dress standards and the dress issue. But folks, what you have to understand is this. The dress is just a leaf on the tree. Now, it's a very visible leaf. I mean, it really is. One of the reasons it's as big as it is because there's some things you can do and nobody knows about it, but your decision in this area of life, you wear every day. You literally wear every day. And so it's a very outward thing. It's a proclamation that you make. It's a statement that you make when you leave your house. And all I'm asking is this. I'm not asking you to believe Jerry Ross about anything. I'm asking you to bring the Bible. I'm asking you to take a look at it. I'm asking you to consider it. I'm asking you to help stop this. Because the generation come up behind you, you know, is doing this. They're doing this. Brother Reiser just talked to me this week, and I'm not talking about folks, lost people. I'm talking about saved people. Talking about be careful what I say. Brother Reiser's talking about a family we know both know very well. By the way, at one time was in full-time Christian service. And I think left the will of God, got out of the will of God, and moved to a different part of the country, got discouraged. By the way, started going to an interdenominational church. Now the wife works full-time in the medical field, and the husband stays home and takes care of the children. Okay? And the sad part is, that's not all that shocking to y'all. You know why? Because those situations are replicated over and over and over again. Well, wait a minute. Well, you mean the Bible actually addresses that? Yeah, it actually addresses that. And watch this. When he surrendered in that area of his life, everything else now is beginning to become for sale in his life, and he's surrendering a little bit at a time. And why? Because if you get original intent wrong, you've got everything wrong. You're on a slippery slope. Okay? Now, some of you young ladies, you need to really listen to the preacher. You may not believe it, some of you young married girls, but I'm telling you this right now. I'm going to try to save your marriage in the next few Sunday nights. Because you think I'm after the leaf on the tree. I'm not. I'm after the root that's under the ground. If I can lay an axe to the root, the leaf will take care of itself. If God can get down to your heart and get you to figure out original intent, everything else that you're battling over is going to seem pretty easy. It's going to fall right in line. See, the issue of dress isn't really an issue of dress. It's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of whether you're going to have a biblical viewpoint or a world viewpoint of the family. It's going to, listen, I'm going to try to change some of you young gals' viewpoint of your husband. And the things that cause you the most arguments is connected to role reversal. And the things that's causing more divorces has to do with role reversal. Okay? You may think that you're going to be happier by turning your man into less of a man, but you're not going to be happy and he's not going to be happy, and it's going to work at the foundation of your marriage. And so I really mean that. I want to help you. By the way, man, come on. Are we supposed to lead in this? Okay, sometimes we give the ladies a hard time in this, but the honest truth is, men compromised before ladies compromised in some of these areas of dress, and I'm going to show you that. Amen. I'm going to show you that. There's three, and we'll get to it later, but there's three biblical stalwarts, biblical standards that's been raised from the scripture when it comes to dress. And by the way, God has a right, if you're his child, to tell you how to dress. Okay. My daughters lived at my house. You know what? Guess who set their dress standard in our house? Daddy did. By the way, who's your father? Who's your father? Is God going to be allowed to be God? Are you going to listen to him? Or are you just going to say, yeah, what everybody else says? Okay, listen very carefully to what we're going to say. I want to talk to you tonight out of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 about original intent. Understanding and embracing original intent. This is important. We can't rush past this and go to what some of you are waiting for, the hot button issue. Because if we race past this, then you're not going to understand the hot button issue. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, if you'll notice there, and let's read some of the Bible together tonight. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping and thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Notice God's original intent then, verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, watch this, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, let me give you this. It was God's original intent that man and woman procreate. Procreate. Family, listen to me, family was God's original intent. This command was not given after man fell into sin. God created a woman for a man. By the way, I don't see marriage in there. God brought the woman to the man. It was God that finalized the union of a man and woman. Say, who created the first marriage? God did. Who performed the first marriage? God did. And he said to them when he brought them together, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. And so God created original intent, the family unit. Marriage was God's original intent. Being a husband and a father is God's original intent for a man. Being a wife and mother is God's original intent for a woman. The role of husband and wife, father and mother, was all in the original plan of God. The family structure was preordained, predetermined by God. Now, you say, why do you make a point of that? Isn't it crazy? This used to be something you'd mention and move on. And yet, the greatest attack that's happened in our culture in the last several years has come from the sodomite crowd. You see, the devil has attacked the God-ordained structure of the family. Homosexuality says we want to redefine God's original intent when he created a family. We want to create a family and have it recognized as a family by the culture and, by the way, by the church and legally by the court system. Only we want to do what we want to do. So we want to put a man with a man. And we want them not only to be able to be married, but we want them to adopt children. And we want everywhere they go for people to say, isn't that sweet? Isn't that nice? And feel good about themselves because they are tolerant and accepting. And that's what we're all supposed to be. Only God's not tolerant of that. Ask the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah whether God is tolerant of that. God is not okay with that. And I'm not okay with it. And you shouldn't be okay with it. Okay? The devil has attacked the God-ordained structure of the family. Homosexuality is trying to rewrite the definition of the family. I just caught this on a little clip in the paper. I don't buy the newspaper very often. Every once in a while, I'll buy a copy of the USA Today. And I don't know which of the pagan award ceremonies it was, but on the front page of the USA Today, there was a sitcom that's called by this name, The Modern Family. I don't know anything about it, never watched it and all of that, but I read a little bit about it. By the way, swept the Emmys. Why wouldn't Hollywood want to give little statues of congratulation to a sitcom? By the way, let me just say this. If you're sitting out there and you know what I'm talking about and you watch this and you laugh at it and you think that's entertainment and you got it on your home in front of your children, you need to hit an altar tonight and get right with God. Matter of fact, not just that show, a lot of the... You know why some of you can't think right? You know why some of you are in defense mode right now? You know why some of you are attacking original intent? Because you have let Hollywood brainwash you and your family and your children to the point you can't even think straight anymore. The modern fantasy, what is it, preacher? From what I read about it in that news clip, it's supposedly portraying the new definition of a family, which is no definition of a family. It's no definition of family. It's a family without boundaries, without absolutes. It's got a homosexual couple in it that adopted children, and they're the most loving, stable, sensible one of the extended family group. It's got his and hers and theirs and ours and an old man married to a young lady and just crazy, dysfunctional, sexually active children. This is the new modern family. Let's make it into a comedy so everybody will laugh and be entertained and be laughing and entertained at the funniness of it, not realize the whole time they're being brainwashed into accepting that that's an okay situation. And by the way, let's bring them up on stage and let's hand them trophies and let's say this is what we're looking for. This is real entertainment. This is what the devil's doing. He's attacking the God-ordained structure of the family. Original intent, all right, was for God first to create a man and then create a woman for them to be married together. And then after they're married, for them, as a product of love, to have children and then raise those children in the admonition and nurture of the Lord and train them also to be reared up to create family structures, leave and cleave principle. So number one, it was God's original intent that man and women procreate. Number two, it was God's original intent that man be assigned a work to do. Now this is so important, and I want to help some of you men, first of all, because we need fixed in this area, and then I want to try to help some of you young wives that are struggling a bit. And by the way, I'm not belittling you. This is something, if you haven't heard, if you haven't figured out, it's causing you problems, and I think if you'll settle it tonight, from the scripture, it's going to help your marriage. It was God's original intent that man be assigned a work to do. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 9, we see, "And out of the ground made God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now notice this, verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now, some of you that have been under my ministry for some of her days, this isn't new, but you'd be surprised how many people this is new to. Listen carefully. God didn't create man to lay around. He didn't create man to sit down by the creek and watch the fish go by all day. He didn't create man and gave him a flat screen and a video game and say, "This is your purpose in life." I'm going to help some of you young husbands right now. I'm going to help you right now. "Oh, I wish my wife get off my back. Here's a good way to get her off your back about that. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. That's a good way to get her off your back about that. Get rid of it." Well, I know I've heard all the arguments. And I only do it for so much time a day. Okay, whatever. Good. All right. Take that time just for the next month and do something different. Show her you're not addicted to it. Show her that you're a man. You can do it. All right. Maybe after you get away from that thing for a while, you can figure out that there's a lot more important things to do. Okay. Now, by the way, can I help you with this? You're never going to win the game. They don't create the games to be won. They create them to be an addiction. Every man is created to accomplish. God made Adam. He said, "Come here. I made the garden first, and I need someone to dress it, and I need someone to keep it." Dressing entails work. Dressing means that he's to provide. He was to trim. He was to harvest the food. This is his role as provider. Keep it, dress it, and keep it. Keep it means protect it. Keep it means protect it. And so man is created to work and to accomplish and to do and to perform a God-assigned purpose. Okay? Now, ladies, this is where I want you to help you, okay? Your original intent and your purpose for creation is different than a man's. And if you want it to be the same as a man, you're going to be frustrated. Okay? So listen very carefully. Your husband needs to provide, work, and protect. He needs it. He was made for it. He was created to do it. Now, the modern male now wants to procreate. They want a woman, not necessarily a wife, and they want to have children. But then they refuse to provide and protect for this new family. They bail. They run. They hide out. Okay? They don't want the assigned responsibilities that come along with creation. Okay, the modern man wants no boundaries of right or wrong. Because the Lord didn't only originally create a man to do and to work and to perform, but he also gave him the rules of the garden. Verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man. Okay, guess what? In a perfect garden, there were still thou shalt and thou shalt not. Before sin, there were boundaries and commands. I think God's a legalist. That's what I think. I think he's a legalist. Before sin, he said, thou shalt not. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So God says, okay, I created you. All right, slap, slap, you awake. Good, come on. All right, here we go. Here, I want you to address this. Let me tell you what that means. And he broke down the responsibility. And I want you to keep it, protect it. Because you know what? He knew that old devil was out there. Why would he need to protect it? Who was he protecting it again? Was it some rogue tribe out there that might sneak in? No, this was the first man and the first woman. Okay, was it a carnivorous beast? No, if you read on down in the rest of these verses, it will tell you that all, by the way, there were no carnivorous beasts at this time. Every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. That was post-flood stuff. Okay, so what's he protecting it against? Eve! Why was he there? Why was he given in pre-sin perfect Garden of Eden protection responsibilities? You don't think Eve didn't know that? You think Eve wasn't privy to that? Okay. How do you keep Genesis chapter 3 from happening? And the serpent said unto the woman, and the woman said, hold on a second, you wait right here. Because God's given me a protector, and I want to get him here with me before I carry on any more of this conversation. Okay? Well, I don't need no man. I know, you're masculine in your thinking. But you do. Some of you girls, I don't need my daddy to protect me. Yes, you do. Okay? There's a reason that a young lady is brought by her dad down the aisle. This isn't just a tradition. This says something. There's a reason that a young lady is brought by a daddy down the aisle on his right arm and then is handed over. The care and protection of that young lady is then handed to another man. I had somebody call me here a while back. And y'all gonna like this, but it's good for you to hear it. I had a young lady that didn't want to stay underneath the authority of her father. Went off and wanted to be on her own, live on her own, and do her own thing. And then when she decided who she was supposed to marry, she called Dad and wanted to put him on a guilt trip about not coming and giving her away. Why should we blaspheme? Look at me. Why should we blaspheme the meaning of that? See, you're all about symbolism, but you don't want substance. Are you listening to me? Okay. Now, part of the going away from femininity is this whole idea of
I don't need no man to take care of me. I can do anything a guy can do. I don't need my dad. I can watch out for myself. I'm sick of my dad telling me what I can and can't. I'm sick of the rules. I can go out there. I can take care of myself. Okay, Eve, go ahead. All right, now listen to me. By the way, I'm going to be an equal opportunity offender by the time this is over, all right? Men, don't get too excited, because I'm going to tell you, I hold the lion's share of responsibility of the demise of a culture on men. Come on. Where it belongs. We want to quote the verses about leadership and our position, then stand up, man up, and be that. Okay? All right? But original intent. It was God's original intent that man be assigned a work to do. He's given responsibility. Okay? I'm going to say it. Please listen to me. And me and my wife talk about this, and you may think that there's nothing more wonderful in the world than being married to a woman who understands original intent. Not just understands it, embraces it. And a man that embraces it, because you know what? If we understand both why we were created and how we interact and what we are to be to each other, and the differences in our purposes, it removes 98%, 99% of the conflict. The only real problem I'm having right now is the little argument we're into right now over what I'm going to be buried in. And I won't even get into that. That's a whole nother thing, you know. See, literally, you think I'm kidding, but I'm not. I have to create argument opportunities in my marriage. Just for fun. I just create it. And you want to hear about it, man? Do you want to hear about it? I need some support right now. I really do. Be honest with you. I'm getting beat down a little bit. But you know how you have that one pair of jeans? Like you own 10, but you don't want to wear the 9. You want to wear the 1. And it's like the nastiest pair of jeans in the world. I mean, if I wore this pair of jeans out in public, I'd be arrested for indecency, you know? I mean, it's just, they are stained, they're torn, they're ripped, they're nasty. I mean, they even stink after you wash them. They're that good. They are that good. And I love wearing these jeans. So I told her the other day, I said, I want to be buried in these jeans. I want to be buried. And she says, you are not going to be buried in those jeans. And I said, I am too. And she said, you'll be dead. So I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to pull this off. But how many know me well enough to know that I may just pull it off? Matter of fact, I could have some of you guys do an after funeral party. Slip my jeans to like somebody like Greg Burcham, and he'll get 5 or 6 guys to go over, and after everybody's gone, midnight, show up, dig me up, put my jeans on me, amen. I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to be laying there waiting for the Lord to come back. I want to be comfortable, amen. So we got to invent things to fight about for the fun of it, you know. But listen, I mean this. Original intent solves so much. Okay. Understand, you're married to a guy. He wasn't created to be a homemaker. Watch this. He wasn't created to be a husband. Now, some of you girls need to hear this. I know you like Bubba. But a problem with reality shows is they turn the camera on and off. Reality shows aren't reality. Some of you want Bubba, you want your Bubba to quit his job, come home, and be mama number 2. You want your husband to be a helpmeet to you, to make your home child rearing and home responsibilities easier. Mama 2. I like it when the air gets sucked out of the room a little bit. Just let this settle on in. Listen, you know what? God created a man, and inside of man is a desire to be assigned by God something to do and something to accomplish. And you know what? That's how he's wired. And you got to get that. You got to understand that. Ladies, you have to respect it. If you try to kill that and turn his original intent, make his original intent the same as your original intent,
You are destroying his masculinity. You're destroying it. Why didn't he say this the way I see it? Because he wasn't made the way you were made and for the purpose that you were created. He's not. Okay, that's why I can't get some of the men around here to serve in any capacity outside bare minimum. You know why? Because you won't give them a permission slip. Because when they're not at work making money for you to spend, you want them at home being mom too. And you know what? Listen, if you got a husband right now that's doing zero for the Lord, you better figure out why. Oh, I didn't make him that way. Well, you better think it through. Because most men that take off in that direction, if they've got a wife applauding them and encouraging them and helping them by arranging things so that they can do that and be glad and excited about the results of it, they'll still be doing it. Men have been pulled out of pulpits because preachers' wives don't understand original intent. Okay? You know why? 80% of the listening audience, well, I'm going to get to meddling here. You know what? 80%, 85% of the listening audience to focus on the family is females? Because you were created to focus on the family. And James Dobson is trying to convince the entire world that we're all supposed to be created for the primary purpose of focusing on the family. I wasn't created to focus on the family. Just look right up here. Look right up here. Is family important? Absolutely it's important. Do I have responsibilities as a husband? You better believe I do. But God didn't create Adam and say, come here. See those kids? Take care of them. See that wife? That's why I created you. That's your purpose. That's your intent. He created a job, a will, an assigned duty, responsibility. Now men, listen to me. We're going to look at all of this before we're done. And the Bible gives us responsibilities concerning our wives and responsibilities concerning our children, and we are less than a man if we don't fulfill those responsibilities. But ladies, if you're frustrated because you're trying to turn your home into a reality show and your husband's bucking at that, and even if he goes along with you, I don't know how many times I've heard, well, my wife wants to do this and I'm going to support her in it. Since when were you created to support your wife in her endeavors? Well, this is good for you. Okay? He's the one God entrusted with the responsibilities and the rules. That's God's original intent. Now, quickly, let's switch over. And look at the ladies, the woman's original intent. Genesis chapter number 2. And verse number 18. Genesis 2:18. Now I'll summarize this. We'll wrap it up and then we'll pick up from here next week. I think I've given so many of you brain overload now, you're going to need at least 7 days on this. The Lord God said, verse 18, it's not good that man should be alone. Now God created man first, took him in the garden, gave him his assignment, gave him the rules, gave him the responsibilities, and he looked the situation over and said, you know, he's going to be a lot happier and probably a lot better at what he does if he has a helper. Now listen to what the Bible says. The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. You know what? Why you were created, ma'am? Companionship. Because when it comes right down to it, as much as us guys act like we'd like to be hermits, we sure like coming home and sitting down and having the companionship that's provided by a wife. Hardest thing that widows and widowers face is no companionship. Just nobody at the end of the day to come home to and say, let me tell you what I did today. You know, ladies, please listen to me. You know what your husband wants when he comes in the door? I wish I could, if you'd listen to me, I could save your marriage. He wants a kiss. A glass of tea. Sweet tea. Don't use those little pink, you know, the not on it.
That's effeminate anyway, isn't it, Pinky? Oh, it's sugar in that thing, man. Sugar on that thing. Say he'll die early. Make sure he got a good insurance policy. You'll be fine, all right? You'll be a happy widow one of these days. But good home-cooked meal. And somebody to say, how'd it go today? And want to hear. And be excited about the victories and sorrowful about the failures. And an encouragement, no matter whether you had victories or failures. Well, it sounds like to me you're just trying to make us into a Bible woman. A biblical lady. Okay. Listen, please. Companionship. I will make him and help meet for him. I will make him a helper. Look up the word help. It means, it's very simple. It means helper. Meet for him. Okay. Designed for him. For his benefit. So you were made, your original intent is different. God created a man, took him to a garden, said, here's your job. Here's what I need you to do. By the way, you're to work hard. You're to provide through that work. You're to walk the perimeter, and you're to protect this place. And man said, I'm going to tell you, there's something inside of every man in here that'd like to have about 10 acres out in the country somewhere. Come on. Say, not me, I want up 40. Well, you're younger than me. I mean, the older you get, the less you want, I guess. You know how much work involved, you know. Some of you young guys, I want 160 like the old days. Well, if you want like the old days, then you need a mule and you need a plow and come on. And then he created the woman, and he didn't take her to another garden. He didn't take her to another garden and say, oh, by the way, while he's busy doing this garden, here's your garden. And when you both get home, because you both have your own gardens, you need to equally divide the house responsibilities also. And books and articles being written about what a sensitive husband does and is. And you ladies buy these from Focus on the Family and read them. That's what I need. So he comes in the door and you're... He took her that he created and said, here's your focus. Here's your purpose. That scraggly guy? Yeah, that's your purpose. Well, he needs help. That's why I made you. That's why I made you. And I'm telling you, that's original intent. Now, wait a minute. Pretty much everybody in America understood that in the 1800s. Depression era, you all depression, last of the World War II generation, what's left of you in here, got it, pretty much raised in it, it's the way everybody lived, the way it was supposed to be, okay, young generation, look to an older generation, look to an older generation, look to an older generation, learn from them, then all of a sudden, 1960s, a young generation said, I don't trust anybody over 30 years of age, and I don't want to listen to anything they have to say. And by the way, I want to do what I want to do. And I think we can do it better. And so we had a revolt against God's intent, biblical intent, that so altered the culture in this country that even the Church of Jesus Christ, as it saw this thing gain popularity, said, if we're going to survive, we're going to have to start dialing back on some things we teach and preach, because you know what? These women will lead these men out of here, and they'll just go somewhere where they don't have to hear that, like a few of you are thinking right now. By the way, someone asked me the other day, and I'm just telling, I'll be honest, can I be transparent? It's just pretty much this. We got a couple of guests, but this is a veteran pastor. He gets it. Somebody said the other day, what kind of year you had, Blessed Baptist Church? I said, pruning year. So I told our staff, it's a pruning year. And asked my wife what I did Friday. I went out, we got those row of trees in front of our property. I by the way, Chad, I'm going to take you out there and show you that. I'm going to take our staff. I'm going to have the next staff meeting in my front of my property. I should have the next church service there. I have planted two Bradford pear trees, one on either side of my property, my driveway. When we first moved there, we could only afford two. And I wanted trees out there. Bradford pear, by the way, interesting. You know, Chad don't like Bradford pear trees, and I understand why he doesn't. They have been genetically altered to look good but not bear fruit, like the average Christian today, like the average church today. Because of that, they've got some real flaws. If you go there now, the two trees that I planted way back at the beginning, I'm going to find the finish line. Stay with me. On this side, there's just a stump left, because they grew up, got top heavy, and split. Have you ever planted Bradford pear trees? They're notorious for that. At some point, they come up, and instead of just one little branch shooting off, that branch gets bigger and bigger until literally the trunk is trying to support two heads, two directions. And then a storm happens at some point, and the tree just splits. One of them will fall off and separate from the other one. And then usually the other one falls. And you don't save either one. And I went out there with a chainsaw, cut it off, and was going to one of these days get the trunk out of there. But there's a little bit of a tree that started growing out of the stump, and I've let it go, and it's about that tall now. But it'll never be what it once was. By the way, that's a lot of churches right there. It's a lot of churches. The other side of the driveway is a tree that grew up to a certain extent, split like that, and half of it's gone. And the other half is there, and it looks lopsided, and it's not right, and it's not really that attractive, and probably sooner or later I'll cut it down. And the devil's lying to you gals and lying to you guys, saying, you know what? You can grow this family tree, and you can have two different directions going up here, and everything's going to be okay. And it's not going to be okay. So the rest of the trees that I planted, I looked at those two and went, well, that didn't go well. So I bought some more trees, only every single fall about this time I got the pickup. And you know what I do? I prune them way down. And I took all these crazy volunteer little shoots out here that make them top heavy, and I trim them all off. And anything that's not feeding into, watch this, anything that's not feeding into the upward direction of the primary trunk is cut away. Now, I don't know how long I'll live, but I'll bet you those trees do okay. I don't like seeing people leave, but if a young couple comes in here and they are not only determined to practice role reversal, they make it a ministry to try to encourage other couples. By the way, some of you are affected by some of these folks, and you're still being affected by them, and you're still on Facebook with them. And you know what? It's going to tear your marriage apart. But just because people come in here and they look all polished don't mean things are right. And the things they won't tell you, I won't either. But if I did, you better watch what template you're following. You might just want to say, instead of getting my counsel from Facebook, I think I'll put my face in the book. Turn off the electronics and put my face in this book. And keep that tree from splitting. Okay? Man was created first by God, formed by his hands from the dust of the earth, divinely gifted a living soul, placed in a garden, given both responsibilities and the rules. Woman was created secondly by God, formed by his hands, fashioned around a rib taken out of the man, divinely gifted a living soul, brought to the man for the purpose of being for the man a companion and helper, joined together by sacred matrimony, Woman was so named because she was taken out of a man as a gift to man. She was instructed to make his relationship to her the most important of all human relationships and to faithfully cleave to her with the understanding that they were now one flesh. I'm not diminishing that mindset. Men, your relationship to your wife should be the most important of all human relationships, and you ought to faithfully cleave to her with the understanding that you're to do so until death do you part. But, ladies, please listen. The purpose of Adam was to accept the responsibilities and respect and keep the rules and see that the family did also, that God was that God had placed upon him. The purpose of Eve was to provide help and companionship to Adam so that he might better accomplish what God has created him to do. Young lady, you were created to be a helper and a companion to a young man whom God will bring to you in his time. A Christian lady does, I said a Christian lady does not rebel against God's original intent, but instead embraces her divine purpose. Her femininity is defined by her passion in first preparing for, then carrying out the blessed calling of being both a helper and companion to the man God has given her. Here's the question for tonight. Are you willing to embrace your divine intent? Are you preparing yourself, young ladies, please listen, teenage girls, listen to me, so that in every way you'll be a blessed help to a godly young man someday? Are you accepting of the fact that his life is not to be centered upon you, but focused on his responsibilities assigned to him by God? Are you prepared to lose yourself in helping him succeed in his life's calling? This is like oxygen for some men around here. I guarantee there's men in this room that feel like they're breathing oxygen for the first time in months by what I'm saying. Are you prepared to lose yourself in helping him succeed in his life's calling? Is your life now characterized by selfless service or by serving self? Worldly-minded women despise this teaching. They sacrifice their femininity upon the altar of their own selfish agenda and humanistic ideology. They fight to reverse divinely appointed roles. Fight tooth and nail. Some of them will walk away from a marriage and divorce a man if they cannot get him to do this. And we've been witness to it. They fight to reverse divinely appointed roles, then wonder why their lives seem so empty and their husbands so miserable. You know why? Because if you're not fulfilling your divinely instilled, godly purpose and intent, you will never be at peace. Real ladies embrace God's divine intent. Real men embrace God's divine intent. Matter of fact, they don't just embrace it, they glory in it. What's the devil try to do, preacher? Restructure the family unit. First integrate roles and responsibilities, and then reverse roles and responsibilities. Change the male view of work, make him uninspired, apathetical, and lazy. Change the female view of wife and a mother, make it sound like a punishment instead of an honor. Have children reared in an environment that will ensure that young boys do not develop biblical masculinity and that will ensure that young girls do not embrace biblical femininity. Mock at the biblical tenets. Make excuses. Reverse roles and then stamp Christian on it. And what is the result of this? The Church of Jesus Christ is robbed of godly men, and the Church of Jesus Christ has been robbed of godly women. And you know what? We're on a slippery slope. And we're going to talk about some things, and we're going to get around to even talking about a few leaves. But that's the root. That's the root. Heavenly Father, bless, Lord, this teaching time tonight. Help us, God. Please help us. Lord, it's tough. It's tough on the young couples. It's tough on the young people because of the culture that they're reared up in and because of the surrendering of my generation and even generations older than me in some areas of their life. I pray that there'd be a young lady in this room, dear God, that would just say, you know what, I don't care what the culture does. I don't care what anybody does. I'm going to grab a hold of this original intent. I'm going to discover the tenets, what the Bible says, the tenets of biblical femininity, and I'm going to give myself to developing those traits in my life. Prepare myself for the responsibilities that come with being a Christian lady. I'm going to draw lines where the Bible draws lines, not where the culture draws lines. I'm going to be light and salt in a world of darkness. I pray, dear God, there'd be some young man that would embrace original intent. They'd say, I don't care what the Bible says or how the Bible defines masculinity. I want to get into the Word of God and discover what I'm supposed to be as a man made by God to do the will of God, the purposes of God for my life. I'm going to wait and be patient, and I'm going to marry a young lady that gets it. I'm going to marry a young lady, a Christian young lady. Together, we're going to go forward, have children, have a blessed family, and accomplish what God has put me on this earth to accomplish. I pray, God, that you'd help us get this straight in our thinking. I pray, Lord, for marriages that are struggling because of buying into some worldly, unbiblical philosophy. God, I pray that you'd raise up a generation in this church of young ladies and young men that get it. Help us, God, as older Christians to set the right example for them. God, help us if we don't. God, help us if we don't. We pray in Jesus' name.